Hey everyone, good morning. Welcome to the Teach Better Today morning show, where the Teach Better team gets to join you live every single morning, Monday through Friday at 7 a.m. Eastern. I am so excited to have a brand new guest here with us, which for many of you, he might look quite familiar, but if you have not connected with our brand new guest, this will definitely be one that you will not want to miss. We are currently streaming on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Twitch, and LinkedIn. And then of course, it becomes an episode on Teach Better Talk podcast. So we'll be right back. Good morning. My name is Ray Hewer, and I have Kevin here with us. How are you doing, Kevin?
I'm great. Thanks for having me on the show this morning. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning. Yes, it's going to be a good one. Kevin, I know that you have so much to share on today's show. Before we get too far in, I'd love to have you share a little bit about yourself, what you do in education, all that good stuff.
Absolutely. So this is my 26th year in education. I do have experience at the elementary, the middle school, the high school, principal, assistant principal, classroom teacher, instructional coach. And I was even a high school football coach here in the great state of Texas for 10 years. So I always tell people, when you look at my DNA, D stands for discipline. When you look at my RNA, R stands for relationships. And so I happen to be on the first campus in the entire state of Texas to pilot a restorative practices whole campus approach back in 2012. So we piloted that for 3 years. I looped up with my kids, kind of a dad of discipline figure for them. And then the University of Texas had the Institute of Restorative Justice and Restorative Dialogue kind of codify our implementation. And then after 3 years of implementation, Texas Education Agency came in and said, wow, we've seen a lot of success. We want to take this across the great state of Texas. We need a voice. And they kind of lured me. I always tell people, they gave me an opportunity to get in consulting and started working for TEA, traveled across the state of Texas, did all 20 service centers, trained 1,000 administrators for TEA, co-authored a book, Restorative Discipline Practices, and really kind of jumped into work from there.
Wow, it sounds like you have not only been able to do so much, but are currently doing so much to serve our students and serve our teachers. How does it feel being in this new role?
You know, it's been 9 years now. I feel like I'm finally getting my feet like planted now and understanding a little bit more about how to support schools from the outside in instead of the inside out, is how I kind of phrase it. I would tell you, I think traveling across the country, we've trained about 30,000 educators since 2015. So we've gone to over 200 districts across the country. And I think that's been the most impressive part about is learning the dynamics of different educational systems. So different states, unions, non-unions, you know, support, not support, budgets, not budgets. So you try to learn to go through the dynamics of those differentiation parts. And that has probably been the most intriguing part about learning this part of the business.
So many good things here to explore. You know, for many of our educators, they'll be very familiar with restorative practices. But for some educators, maybe they're new to the field or they use different jargon. Would you mind sharing a little bit about the mission, the work that kind of brings?
Absolutely. So, you know, it's crazy because in the state of Texas, when we first piloted this, they chose restorative discipline. And I always tell people restorative discipline, restorative justice, restorative practices, they all have their own little kind of connotations of each other. But at the end of the day, fundamentals are all about realistically restoring and repairing harm, allowing us students to move forward. I really took out of this work, to be very direct, was accountability. I think where I was missing more than anything else was I was on that campus where when we piloted that, we led the district with 1,149 types of suspension. And being an old school football coach, disciplinarian, I just thought my job was to change students' behavior by applying the discipline consequences that we had always done. And I think what restorative taught me is it allowed the process and the conversations to slow down, to start to get to the root cause. And then really, to be very direct, was like intent versus impact. And I think that was probably the biggest aha for me was students weren't understanding that I didn't intend to make other people feel this way, but their impact. And so I think restorative for me allow the impact of their behavior to come to the surface. And then it's those conversations and how you really hold students accountable that allows them to grow from their poor choices and voices.
You know, I know there will be a lot of educators in our comments today and thinking through as they're listening, maybe on their drive to work or preparing for their day ahead, that are going to really understand this concept of like accountability for students. They want to see actions have accountability, and they want to see a long-term impact on, in, you know, better behavior in the classroom. So I know that's going to resonate a lot with people.
Yeah. And that was probably, like I said, the highlight for me was once students were participating in these conversations, so that could be a restorative conversation, a restorative conference, a circle, and realistically just doing the fundamental work of having them pause and reflect about their own behavior and their own choices, and then allowing them time to understand, oh, I impacted others. Oh, I didn't even realize that. And I think it was those teachable moments, and that probably as a teacher, fundamentally, no matter what our title is, that's probably what I enjoyed the most, because I think under the old regime of just applying consequences and getting kids in and out, I had lost my why, because I just realized like I wasn't changing kids. I was no longer teaching them and shaping them and molding them. And what I saw from these conversations were students' light bulbs coming on. Their awareness, all of a sudden they were like, huh, I never thought about it that way. And that just took me back to my teaching and coaching fundamentals, where I was like, now I get to teach and shape and mold students into just being accountable for their behaviors. And it's crazy, because I think people, if they first met me, I was very reactive. I used to tell kids to kick rocks and get off the school and, you know, just old school. But it was interesting, 3 years later, Ray, I found myself telling kids, hey, today, I love you. But you're going to go home. You're suspended. But I still love you. And I'm going to be the first one to meet you on the steps tomorrow with a high five or a fist bump. And you're welcome back. Because I also think the other thing that I didn't realize is exclusionary consequences, which I'm a proponent of, but underlining the tone that if we don't allow the students to know that they still belong here, despite those choices, you kind of remove some of the shame in the game. You got to let those students know today was a bad day. It doesn't define you. It's just a simple small grain in the sands of life. But tomorrow you get to come back and we get to do it all over again. And I think it was that approach that all of a sudden students started responding, and it really allowed me to capture my why back.
I think it's so important here, as we're talking about discipline, that we're not only looking at having accountability, having those reflective moments, but then the recovery is in that conversation as well. The conversation about, yes, there is something that's going to result from this. Yes, we're going to work through it. And then when you come back, we are like all in this together still, because that is a huge issue we see in schools, where students get a consequence and then they're like, all right, don't screw up again. And they get thrown back into the wheelhouse. And that becomes really stressful for the child, because they feel even more distant, even more isolated based on what just occurred. And then they can't rebound as quickly. And so that's important.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was really about, so like reintegration, reentry, you know, bringing them back just in a healthy mindset. And I had to reframe my entire thinking too. So like, when students are going to be suspended or excluded, particularly for a longer frame, what we started realizing was the actually reintegration started before they even left. And I always tell people, like, if you're, you know, as much as Elon Musk and people are sending people into space, I said, no matter where you're at, you never send someone into space without a plan to make sure that they're coming back. So what's crazy is think about it from that perspective. Before those astronauts even take off, we already know when they're going and we already know when they're coming back, and we've got a plan for that. And it's interesting, because when I work with school administrators and leaders and I remind them that, hey, before you even leave, you got to start thinking about them coming back. They're like, I don't even think like that. I wait for them to come back. And that's why I always tell them the plan starts before they even leave. And I think it's just that proactive, different mind thinking about those exclusionary consequences. And I just wanted, I shaped them because what I want them to do is actually change the students' behavior. And where I saw a huge gap in accountability is that we as adults typically think that, oh, if we apply a consequence, that will make the student feel accountable. And I think with the change at home and the change and things that are going on, like, it's, the world is completely different. And so students no longer listen to us and comply with us because we're adults. So at that point, we've got to start to understand, we have to teach them things through these lessons. And to me, restorative practices just give me a fundamental to get a hold of that and to have those conversations so that students wouldn't repeat the behavior. But if they did, we didn't hold them against it. We would just be like, all right, what are we going to continue to do? But we're always focusing on meeting the needs of the student, picking a strategy that works and aligned towards changing the outcome of their behavior. And to me, that was the biggest difference in our approach when I created differentiated discipline in that concept.
So many good takeaways here. I would love to reflect with our community here and see in the comments, how do you feel about this? This concept of making sure that you're planning for the student to return. Can you even do that in a smaller scale, like in your classroom? Are you preparing your students before they leave your classroom, how to be successful when they come back the following day, the following week, or anything in between? Lots of good things here. Kevin, we'll be right back as we transition into our team talk. Hey friends, thanks for sticking with us here on the Teach Better Today morning show. We are continuing our conversation here with Kevin in our team talk segment, which is when we like to get into the nitty gritty. And this episode has already been full of different ideas on how we can be better to serve our students. Kevin, if you were to reflect on a major takeaway that you want our community here to take from this episode this morning, what would be your big message that you want educators to keep in mind?
Absolutely. I would say there's two. One is that we need to also make sure, because a lot of this conversation has been really shaped on the responsive side of that. And what I would say is there's really two prongs of approach. So the big message I want us to take away from is one is as we're on that responsive side, as we go through it, I always mention this because we are such a proponent of differentiating instruction and meeting students where they're at. Hence, when I created the concept of differentiated discipline, I want us to hang on to the concept that as long as we can meet students where they're at and everybody learns different. And it's interesting that when we phrase it that way, we're so used to just always thinking about it on the academic side. But what's interesting is all students respond different. So therefore, sometimes an exclusionary consequence or like in a suspension may not get the student to respond. So that means we've got to go further outside the box, because to me, when a student doesn't know how to read or convert a fraction, we don't give up on them. We're like, okay, we're going to go to another strategy. We're going to find some other initiative. We're going to find something to help that student be successful. So this is why I push administrators and those deans that are supporting behavior and discipline on the campuses to remember, we've got to really try to figure out to where the student, we got to meet the student where they're at. And sometimes that's in a variety of different places, but we're used to using a kind of just the scale that fits everybody, right? So discipline is supposed to fit everybody. And I think that's my approach is discipline needs to be differentiated because all students come from different backgrounds, have different traumas, different experiences. So we've got to try to break away from that box. The flip of that, Ray, is I will tell you what I've really become to is a connection connoisseur. I will tell you the biggest aha for me was teaching proactively. This was the biggest probably takeaway. And about 4 years ago, I was leaving a campus. A principal said, hey, today's great training was great. Staff was everything, motivational. But he stopped and he said, you know what really stood out for me? He said, for 20 years, I've led a campus and I've always told the teachers how important it was to make critical connections with kids. He goes, but you know what's funny is we're leaving with the how today. And it was crazy, right? I didn't even realize through this restorative practices journey, I had always done everything in community building and circles and everything that was so powerful. But what I started noticing is that circles sometimes, and I say this with all the love and respect, can be like the elephant of restorative practices. It can be really big overwhelming, take up a lot of time and space, and all of those things, to be very direct, fight against what teachers are already working against. So to me, I developed four tools that take less than 2 minutes called the Connection Driven Classroom, where we have the Teacher Connection Toolkit. And these tools, particularly at the secondary, I taught integrated physics, biology, chemistry, speech. So at the secondary level, being very more content heavy, a lot more association of accountability, I started realizing that if we could teach teachers how to connect with kids. And the more I started having conversations with school leaders, superintendents on my podcast, which I did during the pandemic of the Relationship Centered Learning podcast, I started recognizing through that those conversations, nobody teaches teachers how to connect with kids. And it just started to fascinate me because I never even thought about it. Nobody taught me. And when you and dive into some informal conversations, and I'm assuming just you're following this morning, educators, think about this. Who taught you how to connect with the kids in the classroom? And the majority of are like, wow, I guess no one ever really taught me. I either figured it out, I had it in me, it was modeled. But that was probably the biggest takeaway is I always use this phrase. We have a connection problem that's disguised as a discipline problem. So I'm going to say this again. We have a connection problem that's disguised as a discipline problem. And recently on my social media, I put out that little video referencing it because I'm not saying we don't have a discipline problem, but underlying that, we all know the best teachers are the ones that we rarely have to support you with discipline and behavior. We rarely have to go to your classroom. Your scores are outstanding. Your kids love being in class. So they're not late. There's all those positive things. And if you look fundamentally, what happens is those teachers have strong connections with their students. And so to me, fundamentally, nobody argues it's not controversy to create connections in the classroom, but I noticed that if we don't teach teachers how, and we don't have a universal toolkit, then we're leaving teachers to just figure this out on their own. And that's what my mission is if you fold a piece of paper, Ray, and you create a crease, I want to create a crease in connections for teachers. I want 50 years from now, when I'm gone, I want people to go, remember when that guy was talking to us about these connections and all these things? They went from cracks to canyons post-pandemic. And to me, when I support schools, I see a fundamental underlying tone that not only are we not creating connections, one more added value to your listeners is this. I created an outcome called cross-connecting. So that means not only do we have to, one, somebody's got to teach us how to connect, but number two, when you ask teachers, what's the goal of creating a two truths and a lie or a brown bag or a vision board or something in the classroom? And I will tell you, most of them say, oh, for me to feel connected more to my students. And I'm like, great. What I discovered through this was there's actually three outcomes to community building. And so I designed everything to cross connect. So all of our tools must do three things: create student to student connections, student to adult connections, and adult to student connections. And what's crazy is that we started to notice when the students got more connected with each other, they started to treat each other better. When the students felt connected to the adult, they treat them better. When the adult feels connected with the kids, they treat them better. So we started seeing an average of about 50% decrease in those what you would call tier one classroom minor behaviors. And students started getting along better and started trusting. So what is the return on the investment of these 2 minute tools? Because if you build these micro frequencies of connections, you're not having to spend long times pulling away from instruction. You do them as the fundamentals of routines and relationships. And then realistically, you start seeing the payoff because trust, communication, and community starts to build. So what starts to decrease? Those off-task behaviors, non-compliant, disrespectful. And even when those do occur, we're able to reconnect because we had a connection to begin with. And I think that's fundamentally some of the biggest ahas that I've taken away from this work.
So many good takeaways here, Kevin. People are going to jump at these resources. Do you mind sharing how our community can stay connected with you after this episode so that they can go learn about the skills that you've been able to highlight here and go connect with you to learn even more than I know you have?
Absolutely. So our website is just ddiscipline.com. Very simple. Just put a D in front of the discipline. That gets you that differentiation. All of our social media is differentiated discipline. You're able to follow us, able to listen to our messages. We offer trainings throughout the entire year when we don't go to the school. So this summer, we're actually offering a trainer of trainer for the first time ever. We're actually taking the connection-driven classroom. So those proactive tools that I was just talking about, we've recognized that a lot of school districts are going to in-house professional learning and development. They're trying to save money. So to us, the best thing is trying to, just like we said, meet schools where they're at. They're like, hey, I wish we could afford this. Or, hey, we don't have a lot of budget, but we can have one or two people that are rock stars. And so to me, creating this trainer is going to allow this model to multiply so that teachers and administrators and other professional development leaders can take this concept, take it back to the school district, take back, train your own staff, because this is such a valuable need. But at the end, I think sometimes budget, timing, constraint, everything that gets in the way of that, I want to try to remove those barriers and meet educators where they're at. So you can find us at all of those places. And that training is actually this summer in Austin, Texas. So if you're looking for an excuse to come to Austin, Texas, hey, June is going to be a great opportunity. It's not July, so it's not too hot. But at the end of the day, Austin's a great city. We've got a great location. We've averaged 250 people for 4 years in a row coming to Austin to our trainings to learn so much about restorative practices, connections, impact, intent, all of those things. And so we're just excited to continue to offer that value this summer. So we just invite you to visit us at ddiscipline.com.
Man, that sounds like an epic opportunity, and I would love to come to Austin, Texas, so sign me up. Friends, if you are excited to learn more, please go check out everything that Kevin is doing, and we want to celebrate him as a part of our Teach Better family, so continue to follow him and share your insight. Kevin, thank you so much for coming on the show this morning and sharing so many good things for people to be able to reach their students better. I really appreciate it.
Thanks, Ray. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. For everyone else, we have an amazing rest of your day, and we'll see you soon.
Hey, Teach Better community. Thank you so much for joining the Teach Better Today morning show every single weekday at 7 a.m. Eastern. We have so many resources for you outside of this live stream at teachbetter.com, including blogs, podcasts, and professional development that will bring our team to your school. Wherever you are listening from this morning, please make sure you are sharing and celebrating the incredible educators in this world. And hey, if you are listening over on a podcast to Teach Better Talk, we would love a 5-star review. The comments are always so entertaining. We'll see you tomorrow.